Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development podcast featuring candid conversations with business leaders across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts from Michigan business leaders and innovators about how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and significant workforces in the nation.
Hello, I'm your host, Ed Clementi, and we have a more exotic visitor from Chicago. And I want to thank Mike Pisker. He's the program manager for the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Governors and Premiers. And I might have added an extra and in there, but I'll let you explain what that title means. But welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thank you, Ed. My pleasure. Really glad to be here.
Yes. And even though you're based in Chicago, you do quite a bit with Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Why don't you sort of, because your title really doesn't say what your organization sort of does. So if you met somebody at a party, what would you ask or what would you tell them if they asked you what you do?
Sure. So the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Governors and Premiers is a nonpartisan partnership of the eight U.S. states and the two Canadian provinces in the Great Lakes region. So we work at the direction of the governors and the premiers, as the name would imply. We work on a portfolio of issues that aim to grow the regional economy and protect the environment in the region. So just to give a few specific examples, for those listeners who are familiar with the Great Lakes Compact, our organization serves as the secretariat to that agreement that covers different water uses throughout the entire Great Lakes region. We also work on a range of issues, including invasive species, maritime transportation, trade promotion, tourism promotion, and then what my work focuses on mostly these days, which is impact investment and the Great Lakes Impact Investment Platform. So, you know, everything we work on kind of strikes that balance between economic growth and environmental protection, recognizing that job creation and growing the environment sustainably, growing the economy sustainably is important. At the same time, we have to recognize that we have to protect the environment and make sure those two are in harmony. Speaking a little specifically about the Impact Investment Platform, this is really looking at establishing the Great Lakes region as a hub for financial innovation and really positioning it as an opportunity-rich area. There's a global trend right now where trillions of dollars are seeking some kind of return beyond just the financial. So financial return, yes, but also that additional benefit, environmental, social goals. There's a lot of different terms that get thrown around for this. You hear sustainable investment, principles of responsible investment, ESG. Really what it's all about is that kind of dual return. And we see the Great Lakes region as a place, again, rich in opportunity, a lot of different innovative approaches happening. And for those investors who are looking to have that impact, something that's place-based in the Great Lakes region, that's what it's all about.
And you did plug two of our previous guests without you even knowing it, or not two guests, but at least one we've mentioned a lot on the show. But first of all, Jim Weekly, I think you've worked with him and he's with the freighters, what's it called? The Great Lakes Freighters?
Yeah, the Lake Carriers Association. Definitely know Jim very well. Yeah. So I managed our maritime program for many years before my current focus. And yeah, we know Jim well. He leads the kind of U.S. flagged vessels across the region. And yeah, happy to talk more about maritime for sure.
Yeah, no. And another one was something we brought up in our pre-call. And I think it's an interesting anecdote, but your relationship with Dave Lorenz, why don't you kind of explain what you guys do together, who works for Pure Michigan and at the MEDC, of course, and for the state of Michigan?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned tourism promotion as part of our work. A big part of that is called Cruise the Great Lakes, and it is aimed at promoting the cruise industry in the region. So it's really focused on bringing more consumers, cruisers to the region. So this is basically a consortium of the states and the provinces, of cities, ports, convention and visitors bureaus, cruise lines, others across the region, really looking at creating kind of a single brand for the Great Lakes region and really attracting more passengers and cruise lines to the region. So Dave Lorenz, of course, with MEDC, Pure Michigan, he serves as the chair of Cruise the Great Lakes and has since its inception in 2018. So he's been a great partner, obviously is a wealth of knowledge on the topic. And, you know, I think Pure Michigan as a brand is really looked at as kind of the gold standard of state tourism promotion. So to have his leadership has been really critical.
Well, if Dave Lorenz was here, he'd stop the podcast now and drop the mic.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you giving us that plug. And, you know, One other thing, and I sort of leapfrogged ahead on some of your remarks, but I wish you would explain the 8 states and then the 2 provinces, just so everybody exactly knows, you know, for example, I believe Governor Whitmer's on one of your boards, right? Or your board? I'm not sure.
That's right. Exactly. So the governors and the premiers serve as our board of directors. So of course that would include Governor Whitmer. So if you're thinking on the map, it's starting in the west in Minnesota, stretching across Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York in the east. And then the 2 Canadian provinces are Ontario and Quebec. So it's the Great Lakes, the 5 Great Lakes, and then the St. Lawrence River, which is all, from a scientific standpoint, is kind of viewed as one big hydrologic system. And, you know, basically looking at that as kind of the unifying force for the region, something we're all working together to protect. And like I said, the organization itself is really focused on that mission, as well as the sustainable growth of the economy.
Have you ever thought of saying we're the Mediterranean of North America?
No, but I like that. That's a good one. We might have to look into that as we're promoting cruise ships to come here.
Well, royalties. Yeah. So the reason I say it is because I get a lot of feeds for travel things, and I'm seeing more and more of the Great Lakes, especially since, you know, sort of COVID, that, you know, a lot of people are staying domestically in North America. Right. And so I think it's actually, I don't know how it's doing, but I just know that you guys are doing a good job with it, because I do see more and more exposure to that opportunity. Why don't you get more, let's say you get a little bit more back to, just to explain to some folks, this is more of a basic political science question, but the premiers, why don't you explain just a teeny bit? A premier is a little different than a governor, right?
Exactly. So it's the parliamentary system in the Canadian provinces. So the premier is the head of the government, is the head of the party. So has the same, it's, they're the top elected official in their respective province. So it's the counterpart of the governor. But, you know, the governor is, of course, in our state separate from the legislature, whereas, you know, the premier would be the head of the government for the state overall, including the parliament.
I asked that question because I used to teach both high school political science and I taught for a university. So it is amazing how much Americans probably don't know the country right next to us, sometimes the difference between the two. But it's important to distinguish that sometimes. I don't know if everybody always gets, even though we work together, there's still big differences somewhat in the way the system works.
Absolutely. Definite differences, but also, you know, a lot of common ground. And you know, over the years, the premiers have become closer and closer as a part of our work. About 5 years ago, they shifted from being associate members to full and equal across the 10 jurisdictions. So, you know, everybody sees kind of the value of thinking regionally and working together regionally.
And I like the angle you're talking about with sort of like a global, gets back to my Mediterranean analogy, but like how we're marketing our region, both for business, economic development, tourism, whatever. But you've got some interesting little bits of background in your own educational. I see you went to both Oxford and then I think Budapest, right? Can you explain both of those? Because I think that's pretty interesting. And we don't meet many folks who've been to both of them.
Sure. Yeah. So starting at the top, so my, you know, I live in Chicago. My undergrad was here in Illinois, University of Illinois. I did spend a semester as an undergrad in Budapest, Hungary. And that was, you know, a really interesting time there as they were sort of transitioning out of kind of the post-Soviet era and moving into the European Union and things like that. So really interesting to learn about kind of the political situation there. A couple of 2018 now, I was able to spend a week in Oxford as part of a program focused on sustainable finance, which has been instrumental to the work I do now. But that was, you know, really eye-opening, besides being an amazing place just to go to, obviously an exceptional world-class learning institution and one that was great from just knowledge, networking, and everything like that. So
I've been there for rugby, but that was the only time I was ever in Oxford. So, but you actually got to go into some classrooms. We were just on the field.
Yeah, we had lunch in the Harry Potter dining hall. So very, very cool. Very cool.
You're listening to the Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast.
Why don't you break down a little bit more about this sustainable financing? And it's kind of a complicated thing, like a lot of complicated financial things are. Could you put it into sort of common terms why Michigan businesses would, you know, why it's sustainable for both private sector as well as for the environment?
Sure. So I talked a bit before about the lakes being kind of the unifying force for the region, and it's the source of our prosperity. And, you know, there's this kind of growing need, recognizing we have a tremendous need to fund different environmental projects. And while government is part of that, public investment is part of that, it's not the only answer. At the same time, as I talked about before, there are many trillions of dollars globally circulating that are looking for these sorts of, you know, return plus, if you will, type investments. So we've been saying, hey, look, the region here, you know, it's easy to be kind of humble Great Lakes Midwesterners and focus just on our home, but we have 20% of the world's surface freshwater, 85% for North America. We have tremendous sort of natural resources in terms of forests, agricultural lands, and all these other things. And, you know, each one really provides a major opportunity for those investors. So the idea here is let's think differently about the way we manage our resources, moving away from this sort of traditional model of use a resource, degrade it, and then after the fact, at great expense, clean it up, say, hey, let's be smarter about the way we're using it now, recognizing that it holds tremendous economic value for the region. How do we take better care of it on the front end to more manageably, more sustainably manage it in the long run?
Yeah, when I was in the legislature, I think I did most of the bills for brownfield redevelopment, and it was such a huge cost for super funds and all those types of locations. And, you know, if you could do it better, I guess, ahead of time, it would save us more money in the long run. But it's always tough, you know, to make that case to show we're saving you money by being more sustainable up front, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can give a couple of Michigan-specific examples. Number one, there's Michigan Saves, which is the state green bank. It's a non-for-profit green bank. They finance energy efficiency, renewable energy projects, things like this. So while all of these projects have a demonstrable environmental benefit, they also can generate economic benefits for homeowners, businesses, and others, ratepayers, taxpayers. So it's showing that there's, you know, a sustainable way to do it. We can achieve these environmental outcomes and at the same time make better use of limited financial resources. Another one I would talk about is green bonds, which for those who are familiar with kind of the municipal bond space, from a financial standpoint, structured exactly the same as a standard municipal bond. However, it's tied to some sort of demonstrable outcome. So there's a use of proceeds. You know, we're going to issue a bond for $20 million. This is just an example, and it's going to be used for X project. And then that project will generate specific returns. So in Michigan, DTE, for example, has done this to drive decarbonization through the electrical supply for the state. Issued several billion dollars worth of green bonds and are going to have over the lifetime of the bonds absolutely tremendous reductions of carbon usage and really just deriving major benefits for the region.
Yeah, and I know you and I gave a couple other examples a little bit about that, but is there any other sort of, so like if you were a regular person that didn't know what green bonds were, but maybe you were like a city manager or a regional economic development organization. Do you have any sort of examples where they could use that sort of green bonds?
Absolutely. I mean, any bond issuer is able to issue a green bond. So municipal government, a port, for example, you know, really kind of any governmental type agency, certainly in the private sector too, corporations issue green bonds as well. So, you know, it's kind of a rapidly evolving space. The thing that's really interesting about it is they're starting to show evidence of what's called a green premium or a greenium, where it's basically showing that by tying these bonds and by tying the proceeds to specific outcomes, you can actually get a better borrowing rate. It becomes more attractive to purchasers of the bond. So we actually worked with a professor, Peter Adrians, at the University of Michigan, who did some research on this to start to quantify what that greenium looks like. It's really kind of in its infancy, but it's starting to become more and more apparent, not just in our neck of the woods, but throughout North America and globally. And, you know, this is something, again, it's saying, hey, if you are a city government or some other body, a public body, you can say, hey, this might be an attractive way we can achieve our goals and at the same time actually do it and lower our cost of capital.
Yeah, and you and I even talked a little bit about, it doesn't make sense to build out new infrastructure when there's so many communities, especially, you know, in Michigan was sort of the Rust Belt, and I'm sure Chicago had little bits of it too. We should be able to figure out how to reinvest back in those communities rather than expand or sprawl out in other places.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There's, you know, we saw this on our maritime transportation work, for example. It's was really a tremendously underutilized asset. A lot of infrastructure that was maybe being used at 50%, whether that goes for locks or ports or whatever the case may be. So yeah, to your point, you know, instead of maybe building new infrastructure, hey, how can we get more out of what we've already have? We've had these legacy investments. Perhaps it takes some investment to maintain them or upgrade them, but you know, there's certainly much better use that can be made out of things that we already have at our disposal.
You know, and you gave one other example of, I think it was, I don't know which university, it was either Northern or Michigan Tech that was doing some, I think it's like drone ships. I forgot the name of the program. You know it better than I do.
Yeah, that's Michigan Tech in Houghton. They have the Great Lakes Research Center, and they are running a program around autonomous vessels. So actually, our organization, Great Lakes Governors and Premiers, we worked with the state of Michigan and MTU to set up a test bed there. So basically, they test kind of small autonomous vessels, smart ships for different applications like research and lake bottom mapping and things like that. Really cutting edge stuff, super innovative, and you know, really interesting. Kind of a glimpse into the future of what maritime transportation might look like.
Another thing, Mike, I should have mentioned, but I zoomed over a bunch of your answers. So I know you probably had a couple things you wanted to bring up that you probably should have brought up earlier. But you got any partners, stakeholders, and then I have another question for you after that.
Sure. Yeah, definitely want to give a shout out to some of the groups who work within the state of Michigan. You know, I talked at the state level. I talked already about MEDC, but we do a lot of work with other state departments, the DNR, Eagle, the Michigan Department of Transportation, all have been really great partners on a variety of things. At the university level, beyond University of Michigan and Michigan Tech, we also have worked with the Axia Institute at Michigan State. That is the supply chain and logistics group there. So they've been a great partner. Specific to our impact investment platform, beyond U of M, we have the Nature Conservancy, we have ECT, which is a consulting group based out of Ann Arbor. So really a diversity of different partners, but a really deep bench of great institutions and organizations throughout the state of Michigan.
Yeah, you kind of cover the whole state with all those groups. So we appreciate you working with us. And I would imagine Michigan, because we're probably touching, how many lakes do we touch? Four?
That's right.
I should know my math better. But yeah, I think it's four. So we touch Michigan, Erie, Huron, and Lake Superior, of course. So beyond any of those partners, do you see any challenges or trends that are going to either help or like slow the process down or change it completely?
Sure. So, you know, I was thinking about our work on the impact investment platform, and a lot of the thinking we've done and a lot of the work has been around looking at these different environmental changes and metrics. So things like energy being saved or carbon being reduced or stored, and thinking about carbon, not just as sort of a challenge as it relates to global climate, but as a potential economic development opportunity for the region. So, you know, kind of in terms of trends saying, okay, we have climate change, which represents this risk to ecosystems and to business and to the environment. That's, you know, kind of one big macro thing. But then thinking about it, if you're a business owner, you might have shareholder pressure or stakeholder pressure to reduce your emissions or to understand better what your climate risk is, different regulatory requirements that may or may not be coming at federal or other level. So, you know, that's kind of one side of the challenge and this huge investment need I talked about of, you know, you have this money seeking projects, but then at the same time, we need to think about, okay, well, what are those projects? How can they make themselves sort of feasible for that sort of investment? But then thinking about the solution, you know, I talked about the economic development opportunity of carbon. How do we begin to think about it as, you know, not necessarily a problem or a waste product or pollution, but a raw material or a commodity? You know, recognizing there's lots of different ways to tackle the problem, from things like forests, of course, and what are called nature-based solutions and kind of the term of art, but different technological things that are happening, carbon capture and all these sort of cutting edge things that are happening. You know, Larry Fink, who's the CEO of BlackRock, said that the next 1,000 unicorn startups, so billion-dollar startups, would be in the climate tech space. So that is a major opportunity and something that, you know, really everyone needs to be thinking about is, you know, what is kind of the future going to look like?
And I would imagine with you working with Michigan State and U of M and all universities, that that tech transfer process for those kind of sort of next phase of energy as well as sustainable sort of economic development, is you're going to be working with them even more so in the future. It sounds like if you follow the BlackRock model, kind of, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great things happening at university levels across the state across the state and the region, really, within government, private sector, you know, everyone. You see a lot of resources, brain power, capital being deployed to address this challenge.
Well, my last question and a half is, what would you go back and tell yourself if you were in high school? What advice, because you've had a pretty broad educational background, but what would you go back and talk to your high school self about? What would you do differently this time?
Yeah, I took a kind of circuitous route to get to the work I do now in terms of, especially as it relates to sustainability and environment. And, you know, one of the things that led me there was thinking about kind of the geopolitics of energy, which was a big focus of when I was an undergrad, and starting to see the connections between those things. So, you know, speaking to my 18-year-old self, I definitely would say, hey, just get to it. You know, kind of take the shortcut and get there quickly, you know, and just generally speaking for people who are thinking about their kind of career path, you know, sustainability, it's not separate from business. It's part of it. It's part of every sector. If you're in engineering, if you're in public policy, finance, whatever the case may be, there's that relationship between your industry and the environment, thinking about how they relate, thinking about the way to balance them. And, you know, being prepared for that trend is going to be a really good place to be in the years and decades to come.
Well, if you follow that advice where all the unicorns are, you're giving good career advice, because it's going to be the future. Is that's where the jobs are going to be if you don't create your own sort of business or entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah, major opportunities. Absolutely.
The last question is, I usually say for Michiganders, but you're on Lake Michigan. What's your favorite part of the Great Lakes?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. You know, one of the great things about this job is I've gotten to travel to so many places across the region and just even within Michigan. I mean, I've gotten to cover a lot of the state. I'm not a Michigander, but, you know, I've gotten to see so much of it everywhere from Detroit to Ann Arbor to Mackinac Island. I spent a couple of weeks last summer in Pentwater. It gets pretty hard, I would say, probably to beat the Lake Michigan coast in Michigan. So, you know, if I had to pick one, maybe that would be it. I have also I'm fortunate to live just a couple blocks from the Chicago side of the lake as well. So I love the lakes overall, but, you know, I'm a little bit partial to Lake Michigan.
Well, we appreciate that. Once again, I want to thank Mike Pisker, Program Manager for the Great Lakes, St. Lawrence Governors and Premiers. Thanks again for being on the show, Mike, and keep up all the good work. Hope to hear more from your organization in the future.
Thank you, Ed. Really appreciate it.
Next week, we have the Executive Director for the New Economy Initiative, Wafa Dinero. She has had an interesting international path with her job working with underserved small business entrepreneurs. Be sure to tune in.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion.